You're listening to Three Kitchens Podcast, hosted by home cooks Erin Walker and Heather Dyer.
We're on a mission to inspire you to try something new. Let's all learn to cook better and eat great food. All right, what are we recording?
Let's talk about some food.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're not sick of Italian cooking yet, right, Heather?
Why would I be sick of Italian cooking?
I'm sorry how this worked out, but I want to take on some Italian bread. Oh, and I guess I should say hello and welcome to Three Kitchens Podcast. My name is Erin. I am one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by Heather Dyer.
Hello.
And Heather just came back from Italy. You could have written this book, Heather, A Cook's Tour of Italy.
Is it a home cook's tour? Is it a home cook who didn't cook while on vacation kind of tour? Because that would be...
Totally.
Totally.
Totally. You're just recreating all the stuff that you ate?
I have a feeling I've heard this cookbook before. Did you not make that pasta pie from this book?
The pasta pie came from this book. It's the book that I have always gone back to for making my focaccia bread. Mm. All that being said, I would like to make Italian slipper bread.
Slipper bread?
Or as you might know it, ciabatta.
Why is it called slipper?
What ciabatta in Italian means slipper. Oh. And this bread is shaped more or less like a slipper.
Is a slipper, like, maybe you shouldn't even go down this road. Like, this cracks me up because we've all seen a ciabatta bun. Mm-hmm. And they're small and kind of square. Whose foot would fit in that? Okay, that's funny. Sorry.
That's the explanation in this book. So if anyone has beef with that, talk to the author, not me. No. I wanted to make this a while back because I had this great idea of making some ciabatta buns for my kids for their sandwiches. And I was like, oh, I love playing with bread, you know, me and my crazy bread obsession. And why not make some ciabatta buns? So I had this idea that I was going to do it at the grocery store before I looked at the recipe. Mm-hmm. So I didn't buy the buns. Well, I got home and I realized, no, this isn't a bun that you just make.
Oh.
So I thought, well, I should bring it in here for us. So I'm going to share my ciabatta bun experience with everybody. And if you want to make it, you shall be prepared after what I go through.
She's already bracing herself, which means...
Hold on.
As friend. We hear what the recipe entails, we may also be intimidated.
I'm hoping it's not too intimidating. The thing that's going to take time is that you actually make a starter before you make the dough.
Like a sourdough kind of thing?
Like a sourdough type thing. But for this starter, in brackets, it says biga, B-I-G-A. So I think it's a specific type of starter that is used. And it has yeast, sugar, water, flour, and some olive oil. You mix it up and then you let it rise for 6 to 24 hours.
Oh, that's random.
I was going to say, like, who decided to put timing on that one? Mm-hmm. And this thing will triple in volume and be sticky and wet when it's ready. So it's kind of like making a sourdough starter.
Right.
Yeast starter,
I guess. Is that what it is?
This is the step that I was like, nope, stopping right here, not doing it. But if I've got this as my goal and my plan for like the week, I think it's totally doable. The starter will make a little over 2 cups. Use what you need and cover the remainder in the refrigerator for up to 3 days.
Only 3 days? You're going to be doing this again within 3 days for a second batch?
Why not?
Well, hey, maybe. Maybe the starter part is the onerous bit of work. Not that it's onerous, but you know, that's the thing that takes a little bit of planning. But once you've got it, once you've got it in your fridge, it might be easy to whip up a second batch.
Yeah, make a batch of dough, make your buns fresh, wait a few days after everyone eats them, and make another.
I guess.
Let's go with that. All right, so once you've got your starter, you're going to make your dough. Again, it has more yeast in the dough, which is kind of interesting. So yeast, warm milk, water, olive oil, starter, flour, and salt. So... I would like to make it. This is like for loaves, and it says that this will make 2 loaves. So I'm assuming this is going to make a whole bunch of little buns for me because I'd like to make these into buns.
Does it tell you how to form the slipper shape?
No, not really. But you'll be happy to know that it's kneaded in a mixer.
Get your Italian Nona biceps ready for like kneading and rolling and all that kind of stuff.
Feel like if I tried to make a bicep, it'd be like the SpongeBob arm where it like he goes to flex and it goes down. Wah, wah. And the fun part of this is that you can also flavor it with sun-dried tomatoes or olives right into the dough. And I think I'm gonna go down that path with some of them
We had a delicious, I think it was
from
focaccia
Russia.
with olives baked into olive, and I think it was like a right, maybe fresh oregano was in it when we were in Sardinia. It was so good.
That does sound
Even the
amazing.
kids who don't love olives were like, I'll eat this bread. Give me, where's more bread? I'm like, darn it, I thought I'd be the one eating it. Stop eating
Back off, get your own carbs. These ones are
Yeah.
mine.
I love an olive baked into bread. I don't know what it
Yeah.
is about that, but
Yeah, I
so good.
like the sounds of this. So give me some time. I'm gonna make a starter. Oh my God, Heather, I'm gonna have two different types of starters that live in my house now.
Don't mix it up.
This is how I know I've gone off the deep end.
Right? Like you don't keep feeding it and keeping it alive, though.
I don't think so,
No.
no.
So,
Gosh.
because that'd be a lot. Two
Yeah.
of them to maintain might be a bit.
Then how many things do I need to say goodnight at the end of the night? My kids, the fish, the starters,
The lizard,
the lizard.
the whole menagerie at the Walker House.
I was gonna say it's like Goodnight Moon, but it's the Home Cooks edition. All right.
Open the fridge. Good night. Whatever you are, yeast blobs.
Night, doughy blobs. Well, this will be a fun bread baking. Anything's good on ciabatta, right?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. Go
Okay.
off and bake something.
Hey, listeners, thanks so much for joining us for today's episode. If this ciabatta bread process sounds like a little bit more than you're wanting to take on right now, but you're still looking for a delicious Italian bread, check out You Gotta Focaccia. It's one of our first episodes from season one, where I make a delicious focaccia bread that doesn't require a starter and only a few hours of your time. Or if you're looking to dive into bread deeper, check out our episode with Larry Harris, where we bake sourdough bread. But this ciabatta is definitely worth that little bit of time. Let's get back to the episode and hear all about it. So, did you put on your slipper bread today?
My bread slippers. I forgot about that, but they did look a
They
little
kind of
like.
look slipper-ish.
Yes.
So, I did a little bit of reading about the ciabatta that I made, and apparently, it was very recently invented in 1982.
Oh,
Yeah.
I had no
So,
idea.
I guess the Italian bakers wanted something that would rival the French baguette. They wanted their own bread that
Okay.
was as loved as a baguette.
I think personally, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick the Italian version. I often find a baguette a little too crusty.
Ah, we don't get great baguettes
No,
here either.
that's true. We don't. Some ciabatta bread is pretty cruddy too, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely worth making at home. I would say I was a little bit intimidated at first just because it had some steps, but it really wasn't too bad to make.
Well, why don't
So,
you tell us all about it?
the first thing I made was this starter, and it has the name biga. And so, this is a starter that is used to make a lot of different Italian breads, and it strengthens the flavor by adding an extra layer of fermentation into the dough. It creates that kind of puffy, light, open texture that you get in the ciabatta bread. And apparently, by using this sort of pre-fermented starter, it makes the final product less perishable. So it will last on your shelves longer by using this rather than just a commercial yeast. So,
Fermentation, right? Because lots of fermented things
yeah.
have that intention of lasting, and it's a preserving technique.
I thought that was really interesting because it's something that I hadn't really considered, but I thought that's a really interesting fact for using this. So the starter that I used was yeast, sugar, and warm water. They were combined until your yeast starts to bloom, because when you put your yeast in with that sugar, it starts to eat it and activate it. If it doesn't do that, you probably should get new yeast. So if you're ever wondering, because you've got a jar of yeast in your cupboard and you're like, oh, this has been here a while, I don't know if I should use it, pop it in some warm water with some sugar and let it sit for 10 minutes. If it starts to rise up, and I've got a bit of a video on it, you'll know that it's good to go and it's still alive. If it doesn't, toss it.
Question. You mentioned pantry. I always keep my yeast in the fridge. Is it
Oh.
supposed to be in the pantry? Am I doing that wrong?
Does it say refrigerate after opening on the jar?
Huh. I don't recall.
Okay.
Let's go look. We're both gonna go look. I just brought the whole jar.
Okay, yeah, I got my jar too. Well, right on top of the cap, it says refrigerate after opening.
It does. And use within 6 months.
Yeah, I think we both have the same little jar here. I have
There you go.
never refrigerated my yeast ever. Because apparently I don't know how to read.
I was gonna say, well, you are not paying attention. No, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter because you're very successful with your breads. So clearly the yeast works, whether you refrigerate it or not.
Okay, so the advice is refrigerate after opening. I am today
Okay.
years old.
Sometimes these labels are confusing with the best before dates and stuff. Because
Yes.
so it says use within 6 months, but then it has a best before date. Does that mean use within 6 months, or if you hit that date, it's out? You know what I mean?
So,
Like,
yeah, I know all these dates on here can get a little bit cumbersome in what our understanding is. And then I think
yeah.
it leads to a lot of food waste, honestly, when it doesn't necessarily have to be wasted, thrown out, or gotten rid of because it's not necessarily bad. It's just not optimal, is what I'm gonna guess.
Okay, I think if you still test it, like you just mentioned with the sugar in the water, if it's still bubbling, don't toss it.
Yeah.
Even if you've had it more than 6 months.
And even if you haven't kept it in your fridge,
If you've surpassed the date, I think just test it.
I've been using a lot less yeast since I've started making sourdough. So I am going to heed the caution on this label and pop it into my refrigerator after our conversation.
Well, look.
This is hilarious.
You don't know what you don't know.
Well, and now I'm going to tell you how to bake bread if anyone wants to take any of my advice now. All right. Okay, so once my yeast got all happy and excited, I added another cup of water and flour to this starter or biga that I had in a bowl, and I just whisked that baby together. It became a very wet glob of, I wouldn't even call it dough, it was more like a batter.
Oh, okay.
And so coat a separate bowl in olive oil, and then put your starter into that olive oil coated bowl so that as it rises over the next, it sat overnight. So the next morning, like 16, 18 hours, something
Okay.
like that. So as it sits, it gets all like frothy and bubbly and it's all blah, 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 blah. The starter itself almost triples in volume and it is a really sticky, wet, gooey dough. The next day when I went to make my dough, you're going to add, again, your active dry yeast into 3 tablespoons of warm milk and again, let it activate. So now you're using a second set of yeast, which
Oh,
is,
interesting. Okay.
and I thought, that's strange. But then I looked up a whole bunch of other recipes for ciabatta and that was consistent throughout all of it. So you've got your fermented yeast and you've got your fresh yeast, I guess, that goes into this dough. And so again, put it into a mixing bowl. And I use the one on my stand mixer because I used my stand mixer to combine everything because this recipe recommended it. And I would strongly recommend that you don't do this by hand.
Because it's a squishy. Oh.
Oh my gosh, this is a very wet, sticky, high moisture dough.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so I've got my yeast activated in my milk. And then I add water, oil, a cup of the starter, my biga. So this recipe here makes 2 cups of biga, more or less. And so you can make 2 batches of dough with this. I just chose to make 2 batches of dough right away, so back to back. So you add your water, oil, your starter, and you mix this all around. as you combine flour and salt in a separate bowl, and then you put that flour and salt mixture into your mixer and you let it knead the dough for a couple minutes.
Okay.
This dough is sticky. So I went and did some rough calculations to find out sort of the baker's percentages on things. And so if you remember, you take the weight of your flour to be 100%, and then any other ingredients you compare to the weight of your flour to find out your baker's percentages. So you take your weight of your flour, you make that a, that's your the bottom of your fraction as you calculate your amounts.
I don't know what kind of face I'm making, but what I'm sure I'm making a face. No, I'm just like, what's the point? Don't you just follow the recipe and put in the amounts that are in the recipe? Why are you doing
Okay.
math now?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay.
My problem with going through reels and stuff on Instagram is I'll come across like, check out this ciabatta dough. It's 100% hydration. And they shake those bins of
Yes,
dough
yeah.
they have and they're like,
Yep.
whoa. I wanted to know what the hydration was in my dough that I made because they only gave me the amounts. So I had to calculate the baker's percentages so that I could share this with you because that was important to me. It's important to our listeners.
Yes, I bet you there are listeners who are like, Heather, shut up and let us nerd out about the baking. Like, just butt your nose out of it.
Any dough nerds, come raise your hand, give me a high five. So this ended up being about a 60% hydration. So the weight of water divided by the weight of flour tells you what your percentage is. So just for a comparison, and online they were saying a ciabatta bread is generally around 60 to 70% hydration.
So you were right in there.
So I'm in there, good enough. So once you've got this dough mixed up, and I mean, this is so wet and battery. So after you've made it, you want to transfer it onto a lightly floured surface and knead by hand to make a smooth, springy dough. This was like playing with cake batter between your, like, it was just like,
Yuck.
ugh. And it was like adding as little flour as possible. Do this. With the first batch that I made, I tried adding some flour to see like how much of a difference does this make? Absolutely none. So my best advice, it was like, you know, Ross and the leather pants and
Yeah.
the cream and the powder, he's made a paste. That's all it
Ew.
did. I made a
Oh,
paste.
that's a gross visual.
My hands were on the dough though, if that helps.
Yes, yeah.
Not in my pants. Okay. okay, never mind. Never mind. We'll just skip ahead here, Erin. Just cut this and keep going.
You dare cut
Okay. What I've learned is when dough is really sticky like this, you've got two options. You can oil your hands and put some oil on your surface to kind of work the dough a little bit, or you can just wet your hands with water. So, your preference. After you've got this ball of springy dough, you put it in an oiled bowl, you cover it with a moist kitchen towel, and you let this rise for an hour and 15 minutes. And you can only imagine after you've let a moist, sticky dough sit,
Yeah.
it's moister and stickier.
And did it rise?
Oh,
Did
it
it?
did. It
Oh.
gets kind of big and bubbly and
Okay.
whoa. So then I was like, okay, I'm gonna oil my hands to work with this dough. So I put a bit of oil on the counter. I scraped this dough out of its container. I cut it into two pieces that I then cut into eight pieces and formed into little buns. And I kind of did this just by like, because the dough is so stretchy and wet, I just like picked up the middle of the bun and folded it back on itself. So like both sides kind of tucked in. And then I pressed it down and then I transferred it onto a piece of parchment. So I did this with eight pieces and then you let it sit for another 2 hours. It says under a moist kitchen towel, and I was like, I'm gonna end up with dough all over my towel, not in a million years. So I oiled the tops of them and then put wax paper down and then a towel, and it still stuck. This stuff was just sticky. So 2 hours, you preheat your oven to 425, bake them for about 20 minutes, and then they're done. This batch that I made into buns, I chopped up about a third of a cup of sun-dried tomatoes and toss that into the dough after I'd add the flour. And so this had some sun-dried tomatoes in it. The second batch that I made, I decided just to make it into two loaves. I did the same sort of thing again once I had the dough out. I cut it in half and then lifted it up in the middle and just kind of folded it on itself and pressed it around. And again, the same thing. They baked in an oven for 20 to 25 minutes and they had olives in them that I had sliced up. I'm becoming an olive obsessive over here. Love it. Oh, and then I baked these in an oven that I had a glass dish of, I put hot boiling water in once the oven came to temperature to create a moist environment. It does say that you can spray in the oven with water 3 times during the first 10 minutes of baking.
Some people do that with sourdough.
Yeah, I do the pan of water for my sourdough, so I figured this will work the same.
Yeah.
And then once they were done, I came out, put them onto a cooling rack. And we have ciabatta.
It's kind of amazing that what you're describing sounds really sloppy, and yet you get bread out of it in the end. Like,
Yeah.
such an interesting recipe.
It makes you a little bit uncomfortable to work with, I think, just because this dough is so unhandleable. But I think because I've had the experience of working with sourdough, so I'm getting more comfortable with working with these stickier doughs.
I think store-bought ciabatta is like next to this is terrible. Like I almost never will choose ciabatta, even though like I've had good ciabatta, probably in a restaurant with a sandwich or whatever. But this homemade was like just so much better. So much better.
It's amazing what a homemade bread does to your standards. You can never go back.
I found like I was expecting kind of the outside to be crusty or almost like you gonna rip it with your teeth, but this was like soft and it wasn't quite what I was. It looks the same, but it's not.
The texture felt better.
Because I preferred that soft texture throughout the whole piece of bread. I really like that.
Did you have a favorite flavor?
I did. The
Ooh.
olive, oh, I could just eat that every day.
Right? I just bought a
Oh,
massive jar of
so
olives
good.
at the store because I'm going to be redoing
Oh, I mean, I'm like you, I love all. I've always, not always, maybe not as a kid, but as an adult for sure. Once I discovered what good olives, not those
this.
crappy things with the red stuff in the middle, I don't know what
Oh,
those
well, I still
are.
like the crappy ones with the pimento in the
Oh,
middle. Thank you very
yeah, no.
much.
I don't like those, but the like a good olive, oh, there's nothing better. I love the way olives hold up in something like a bread. Like they kind of keep their texture and their flavor. They don't like get mushy or dissolve or disappear into it.
They can stand up to that high heat and be those little like perky bites. Like if you, what did you do with your bread?
So with one of the buns, the sun-dried tomato buns, I made like an egg, like a BLT. I had a bacon tomato.
Ooh.
A belt, I guess, because I had an egg in there. My
Ooh,
husband was
nice.
like, gee, you must be hungry. Because I don't normally eat like this giant. It was a big bun and a big sandwich. And it was so messy. And I'm just like, oh, but it was so tasty.
Awesome.
And then honestly, the loaf with, I just kept going back and like tearing pieces off and putting butter on it and just walking away eating it. Like, I wasn't the only one. I think other people in my family also ate some of it, but I ate a lot of that just on its own with butter because I couldn't stop. It was just yum.
So good. So I have a suggestion that I used to do on a baguette. So I mean, the Italians just won by this definition. Is if you cut it in half lengthwise and open up both sides and spread tomato sauce on the bread, put down some meat, cheese, and toppings like you would on a pizza, and then pop this under the broiler. This is like quick, fast pizzas. And the olive in there, and this like easy to bite through bread, which is again, like you said, less crusty. It's less of that like tearing it when you're so freaking good.
Oh, I could see that being delicious for pizza.
It's a winner.
This was great.
it's a day. You know, you make it up the night before, and then you kind of gotta dedicate some time to this messy dough. But if you make this starter and then you just make two batches of this, the extra stuff that you're not going to eat within the week, pop in your freezer. And this is easily going to last in your cupboard for probably 5 or 6 days without having any issues with it.
Can you keep the starter, like the other half, the starter, if you don't use it right away?
Absolutely. You can put it in your fridge. I'm hearing anywhere between 3 to 5 days. I just mixed up these two batches back to back. When it went into the oven, it was kind of like perfectly timed to make these multiple batches. So that worked really good.
It's nice that it worked out so well that while one was doing one thing, you could mix up the other. While that's baking, it's resting, and then you just swap, and it all worked out.
Yeah, it worked out really smoothly.
Cool.
Make ciabatta at home, and then you'll want to eat it all the time.
It's a hazard of the podcast. Thanks for making this.
Thanks for eating this.
No need to thank me for eating delicious bread. If all the carbs come from the podcast, it's okay.
These are good carbs. They're homemade.
And now for the fine print. Links to recipes and other things we talked about in this episode can be found on the show notes or our website, www.3kitchenspodcast.com. Come say hello on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, and TikTok. We'd love to connect. And if you enjoy the show, pass it on. Word of mouth is the number one way people learn about new podcasts. Thanks for listening. Come on. That's not a measurement.
Let's face it. Okay.